Welcome back to Raw Thoughts. Today I have Clayton Bora with us talking about CrossFit 43 North, talking about resiliency in life and just entrepreneurial development and growth. So Clayton, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, thank you so much. I'm very happy to be here.
Yeah.
I've never been a super outgoing person. I'm pretty much an introvert. I would be considered an alpha personality. a little bit more reserved, and was a nerd, like, and really kind of picked on a lot as a kid. But as I've grown older and had to put myself in different situations, I've learned to become more resilient and be able to, like, stand up for what I need to do and be able to do the things I need to do and be able to stand up for the things that I believe in and learn how to lead others through that. So currently, like right now, I own CrossFit 43 North with my wife, Bridget, and in Nampa, Idaho here. And we have two kids, which has taught me an amazing amount about just patience and bouncing back from things.
Yeah.
We've been in business for about 7 years, coming up on 8, and we love it. It's super challenging because we're dealing with people.
Yeah, people are very difficult in all realms because they all have a story, and then you're trying to tell your story, and then you know just life happens all in the midst of that. So how did you really get into the CrossFit realm?
So I was 30 years old. I was overweight. I had high blood pressure, high triglycerides. Blood work was not good. I'm like, I'm only 30. This is not okay. So my wife actually joined a CrossFit gym in Nampa with her brother. They were doing a bring a friend for the first 2 months of the year. It was a weight loss like team challenge thing.
Yeah. Okay.
And so I was trying to follow along and do the workouts, at the Nampa Rec Center, and that was not going well. I didn't know what I was doing. I had no instruction. And so we scrounged around in our budget and figured out a way for me to join the gym. And as soon as I started seeing like how the workouts are supposed to be performed and the power of what a coach could bring to that, I just started pouring myself into learning more and more and more about that. And so very much a self-starter. I love learning things. So I just started reading and watching as many videos as I could, and then ended up going and getting my CrossFit certification, level one certification. And then that gym saw that I was like really into it and I was doing really well. And so they put me in charge of their early morning classes, and I started coaching that for a while. And that gym was awesome. It had a very great atmosphere. It was very family. It's like everyone there got along really, really well. And it was just like, there was big parties and it was awesome. But I also saw there were a lot of people that would come in for maybe one session and never come back, or that maybe there were higher injury rates than maybe there needed to be. And I thought I think that there'd be another way of approaching this that can take this really effective training methodology and make it applicable for normal people.
Yeah.
And done so in a more sustainable pace so that they can learn the foundational movements and kind of gradually introduce the more sophisticated ones, complicated ones. And so they'll kind of keep people safer for longer. And so with that, we decided to open a gym. Not that the other one, there's anything wrong with the other one. We just wanted to do something a little bit differently. So
yeah, and you talk about, doing that differently with kind of being your normal people, right? Mm-hmm. Or your entry level where maybe they don't want to be in CrossFit as a competitive realm, or it's very intimidating when you do go into those gyms and you mm-hmm. see the strong people or the fast people or, the most endurance people. And it's like, I just want to get into a healthy lifestyle.
Yeah.
And that can be very intimidating. And so how did you take that, joining CrossFit, being overweight, and being that person to start out in that gym with?
Can you rephrase the question?
Yes. So you being that overweight person and going to the gym.
I remember that guy.
What was that guy?
So that guy was a graphic designer. He sat on the couch. He was mostly broke, So he watched a lot of Netflix. He ate a lot of pancakes and burritos and like very cheap food because that's what we could afford. But he didn't do anything other than go to work and sit on the couch and watch movies. Still like watching movies, but
not to that realm.
Yeah, not to that extent. But like I played baseball, I played basketball, I played soccer as a younger person all through high school. And I wasn't great at any of them really, but I played them. So I was somewhat athletic. But then as I got older, like life happens and like I didn't have the opportunity to play in college. So I started, you know, going to classes and eating the food that I could afford and working a lot to pay for college. And so all of that stuff just got in my way. And I just couldn't get out of it without doing something differently. And that's something that I try to work with my clients a lot, is just that this idea of like, man, we all have excuses. Like there's things that just pop up. There's like, and the thing that we don't want to do most is the thing that we need to do most. I did not want to go work out. I did not want to make my body sore. I did not want to change. I like pancakes. Pancakes are delicious. But I had that wake up call of like, man, I'm 30 years old and think my body isn't, it's much older.
Yeah.
And this is not the where I want to go. So I had to change. Yes, there was stuff that had to be changed about my physical body and stuff to get back into like a healthy shape. But first and foremost, I had to have that mindset shift of like, I have to do things that I don't want to do. I can't just live in a comfort zone.
Yeah. It's a comfort zone is scarier than expanding that comfort zone, you know, growing. You talk about, you know, with your clients, the resiliency, like how did you get into that mindset? Like, where did you find the tools to get into that mindset? Because I think a lot of people have struggles with that, where they know they need to change, they know they need to do something different, but they can't change their mind into thinking, hey, this is the person that I want to become. So yeah. How did you change your mindset?
Yeah. That's been what I've been doing this for like 10 years. So that's a 10-year story.
Yeah.
But first and foremost, it was like doing it with other people. Like that first CrossFit gym, like showing up and doing it with other people. They made it, it was fun. There was shared suffering. Yeah, yes, it was hard and we all complained together, but there was that camaraderie of just, we're doing this together and these are like-minded people and if they can do it, I can do it. And then it became, man, I'm actually seeing changes in my body. These other people are looking to me as like, not if like they can do it, I can do it, but now they're looking at me, if he can do it, I can do it. So it's going the other way. And so then I felt like a level of responsibility to keep showing up because these people, like I like seeing them, but they liked seeing me and they liked, like, so we kind of worked on it together. But then like that works for a while. You get the newbie gains, like things, your body changes quickly and things are going well. But then like 7 years down the road, I'm not seeing the same kind of physical progress that I was seeing in the first 2 years. Right. So then the things that keep me going now are different than the things that were keeping me going then. So that's probably been about 5 years ago now. I think I'd heard of it in college, but I never really paid attention to it. But the Stoic philosophy, and I bought a copy of a book called The Daily Stoic, which is like a daily reading sort of thing. But it's just a little bit of a snippet from a Stoic philosopher and then kind of a modern day interpretation or discussion about that. And so I started reading that every day. And one of the things that I love about Stoic philosophy is that it is super practical. It's not about talking about like, what is real? Like, it's not those kinds of conversations. It's like, hey, let's talk about what wisdom looks like. Let's talk about the things that are actually within your control. Like the things that, like, there's so many things that we grasp onto that we want to control, but we can't. The only thing that we have control of is what goes on in between our ears and the choices we make. And so like we can talk about that, but sooner or later, the rubber has to meet the road. And I have to then put that into practice. here's things that are maybe out of control in my life. I'm starting a new business, right? Trying to do all this. There's so much I don't know. I can like freak out about that stuff, or I say, this is the choice that I can make right now with the knowledge that I have, and I can move forward with that. And like, so just things like that become very practical with yeah. inside of Stoicism. So just kind of committed myself to not like deep study of that, but just regular study.
A ritual of that.
Doing the thing.
Yeah.
And like making a practice out of that. And that's so important to all of us. So that's kind of where that has gone with my fitness as well. It's like, I want to be fit for the rest of my life. That means I need to sleep on a regular basis, like a decent amount.
Yeah.
I need to eat well. I need to have healthy relationships with people because that is huge for just happiness and right. like overall well-being. But I also need to work out 3 to 5 days a week. Like, and those are the things I need to do. It's just part of my life habits now to yeah. be a healthy, fit person. Just like I used to sit on the couch and eat pancakes and watch movies. Like those are the behaviors that got me to that point.
Right.
These are the behaviors that I have to have now. And Stoicism helped me to kind of put that together piece by piece in a very practical way.
And was it kind of, hey, here's an example, and then here's how to implement into your life? Or what was the structure of that book that really helped?
Oh, it's divided into different sections. Within Stoicism, there's not just within Stoicism, but these four cardinal virtues, the virtues of wisdom, courage, temperance or self-control, and justice. And so the book is kind of segmented into those different categories. And so you'd read a little thing that was something by Marcus Aurelius or any of the other Stoic philosophers, and then kind of read through this like little snippet from the author that kind of compiled the book. And then I would just ask my own questions. Basically, like, what is it in here that applies to me today? What about this, just reflecting over yesterday or even the last week, how have I seen this show up in myself? And then because I live in this role of as a coach, both helping people with their mindset stuff, but also as their, and the physical, the fitness stuff, like, but those things cross over so much that like, how do they then take this? How does this apply to the people that I'm working with?
Right.
And so then I start to look at bigger picture stuff and see consistencies through people, but it was really just kind of self-reflective. Like I purposefully asked myself questions and made myself take the time to look at myself and be like, this is where I suck.
Yeah.
This is where I could be better with this. This is where I overreacted. And I did not exercise self-control, you know, like those sorts of things. So it was really just kind of forcing myself to create space to do that.
And was it something that you were doing in the morning? Like, how did you fit that into your schedule? Because you were a graphic designer still at that time. Mm-hmm. You were trying to get healthy. Like, where did you fit that in with everything?
So this, like, it's little bits at a time. Things happen. And it's kind of been in an ebb and a flow. Like, I'm not perfect. This is life. Life is a journey and always a journey. And so, like, with kids, and that's kind of where I'm at now, is that if I don't get up early, I don't get as much done. I have to get up early before my kids are awake, because that is the time that I have to make that happen. So I get up at 5:30, if not earlier.
Wow.
Let's say five days a week. I like to sleep in. I like to sleep in until 6:30 a couple days.
Yeah.
But so then it gives me, you know, an hour and a half before my kids get up. So I have a morning ritual that I've built over time. But it started as just like trying to get, I read the little page, and then I'd kind of think about it and write some stuff. And that's how I kind of process my thoughts, because I don't have anyone to talk to at that time in the morning.
Right.
So I'd write. but then over time, like that ritual, and it was just like trying to build a habit, try to build a routine. And now I call it more of a ritual because it plays such a huge role in the success of my day and just the success of life in general, because of all those things every day add up. So now the first thing I do is I make a pot of coffee, but while the pot of coffee is brewing, I drink a glass of water, because I want to set the intention for the day that I need to get enough water in, because
right.
otherwise, like, I'm just, my body is getting older and like joints and tissues need some water. I feel like beef jerky and I don't want to feel a bit like beef jerky. and then I'll sit down and I will read either a page from the Daily Stoic. That same author, Ryan Holiday's recent book is called Courage is Calling. So it's an entire book just about courage, but each chapter is really, it's like 4 pages or something like that. So it's a shorter little bit. I've been reading that. And then kind of doing the same thing, questions toward myself. So I'll read, I'll write. And then the other thing that I love to do is listen to podcasts.
Yeah.
Because there's so many different opinions and perspectives. And I love hearing other people's perspectives on things because it challenges me, challenges the things that I believe, and causes me to, again, reflect and see, is maybe there's truth to this that I'd never thought of before. And that's part of like just even being able to do that is something that's been a journey because most people are like, "Whoa, no, don't! I'm not interested in a new idea, especially in the culture that we have now. Everyone's got to be right, and just getting to the place where you don't have to be right was a journey in and of itself. But it's paid off. Like this is just part of life, and learning these little snippets along the way has been huge. But then like making sure that I create space back to that morning ritual that I have. Like I do that because it sets the intention for my day, for how I want to show up in the world, how I want to show up as a business owner, as a husband, as a father, like all of those things. If I haphazardly go about life, I'm not going to be the person that I want to be. And I have to set that time, I have to create that space and do it with intention.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. And I think it's, like you said, waking up, obviously I do not have kids. I'm single, like live by myself. So those things, you know, like I always have a quiet household. But for somebody like you where your day is consumed by people that need you, by people that are reaching out to you, whether it be the gym, whether it be your wife, whether it be your kids, you're a person where you need to show up for other people, but you're making that time to show up for yourself first. And I just give you a lot of kudos to that because not many people put the time or put the space or put the rituals into effect and actually understand like, hey, this is going to help me. This is going to help me in the long run. And this is going to put me in a better position so that I can be a better person for all these people that depend on it.
Yeah. For sure.
So how old are your kiddos?
My daughter is 7 and my son is 3, soon to be 4.
How fun. Mm. And you're instilling those rituals into the kids. Yeah. I mean, just having them watch you and be around that and, you know, understand like, hey, when you wake up, you've already had your own time for you. Mm-hmm. And that's important. And I think just showing your kids that is really phenomenal.
Yeah. I'm not a great parent, but I want to be. And one of the things that I wholeheartedly believe is that anyone that's going to be a leader has to have visible principles. Like you have to be able to see in that person's life what they stand for.
Yeah.
And so I know that my kids are sponges and they're picking up everything that I say and do, and they're internalizing it and they're like thinking about it and rolling around in their heads and all of that stuff. So I want to make sure that they see me working out. That they see me eating well.
Yeah.
That they see me prioritizing going to bed. Like these things that I was talking about, like I have to demonstrate those things. I have to model them. And then like taking that time for myself in the morning, like sometimes my kids get up early sometimes they just will come and sit next to me quietly. And sometimes it's not so quietly. And then I don't get to finish my ritual, but like that's the nature of what it is, but they get to see that and they get to see the importance of that. And sometimes they ask me about like what I'm reading and I'll have an opportunity to share with them and like just kind of the things that I'm thinking about and kind of what that's about. That's like sometimes the best that I can do during a day. Cause like there's, like you were saying, there's a lot of other people vying for my attention and asking for stuff. So,
right.
Taking that time is super important.
Yeah. So really taking the approach of leading by example,
yeah.
you know, is what your philosophy is really about. That's who Clayton is really about. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit more about like the coaching role and the leading role. Cause you went from a graphic designer mm-hmm. to now a business owner. Like mm-hmm. what was that transition like?
So I've been in, like I said, I was not a alpha personality and still definitely not. I was a geeky art kid. But I found myself in leadership roles a lot, whether it was in Boy Scouts, so I'm have my Eagle Scout, went through the whole thing, did this stuff and had to like do hard things and lead people, ask people to do things for you. And looking back on it, it's super simple now, but at the time like that,
yeah, it's complex.
Being on, different, like youth councils and stuff like that, just kind of being, putting myself in situations where somehow I kind of was in leadership roles. And so I got a good taste of that as a young person. And one thing that I have a friend that told me that I'm the most principled person he's ever met. And I don't know if that's a good thing or not, but, but I think it's, and ever since he said that, I've, like been like a self-reflective, like looking back, is that really true? And I think it is. And so, for me to, like, I have things that I believe are true and are the best way to do things. And when I'm in a situation where I don't get to make those choices, it's super frustrating for me. So that's where kind of like, oh, I'm working for other people. So at one point I tried to do a graphic design business by myself. We did good work, but I knew nothing about business. Okay. And so that was short-lived because the business failed because that's a whole other set of skills they don't teach you in art school, right? but that desire to do something to help people, but to do something without the constraints of other people telling me what to do, kind of just led me to continue trying different things. And so now I'm doing that with a CrossFit gym and trying to branch out into some leadership coaching. And so. Yeah, it's just like coming from the principle of like, man, this is how things should be done. It's not fair that people are going through their life thinking this way and trying to achieve fitness doing hours a day on a treadmill, yeah. or they're like all consumed in this crazy fad diet when they don't need that. Like just trying to really help people and trying to bring clarity. I can't just sit on the sidelines and let that happen. So I feel like just that the principle of things like, no, this is not okay. Right. I have to stand up for it. And so I just do it out of those principles.
Yeah. So how would you say that you're standing up for it currently?
Oh man, this is a good question. These are all good questions. Mm-hmm. But, so in the CrossFit gym, I mean, that's where a lot of this experience is coming from, is that like CrossFit has a reputation. People think like you're going to get injured or, man, I can't do that. You're going to kill me. Like yeah. that's just too hard. One, if I killed you, that'd be a horrible business model and I would not be in business if I killed everyone. So don't kill people. but the idea of like the training methodology of CrossFit is super effective. The fittest people in the world do CrossFit. But they are also genetically gifted and they have hours a day to train and they have people that take care of their food and like they have all this other stuff.
Yeah. So, that's
like,
their job. That's their career.
Yeah. So how do we make that like real for normal people? And how do we change this from, okay, I got to try to be the fittest person to I'm going to put in effort to being a healthy person. So let's shift our goals rather from being like, man, CrossFit is like gung-ho, crazy, fire breather type person to, no, this is a really effective training methodology. You just have to put in the effort and then you can go and do whatever it is that you want to do. So right now, like a lot of what I talk about is just trying to shift people's perspective in the way of what CrossFit is and what it can become and what it can do for you without all of the risks and without all of the crazy behaviors. And that this is, if done right, a very sustainable method of of fitness and training that you can do for the rest of your life and remain strong and remain pretty much injury free. And so I think that just trying to reframe that conversation is really where I'm standing up for things right now. Just trying to make that like more approachable for people. That's what I spend most of my day doing. But at the same time, so because of COVID and the shutdown, we had to close our doors for the gym for a couple months, and we pivoted to doing online training. And what we found is that no one followed the workouts. Like, no one wanted to work out at home. That it was too hard. They all had, we let them take dumbbells home. We gave them the workout. We called them and said, here's some accountability. Have you done your workout today? No, I just can't find time. Like, the workout will take you 10 minutes.
Yeah. Like,
you have time to take an hour or more, because you have to drive to the gym, come in for a full hour long class, and then drive back home. You have time for that, but you don't have time to do 10 minutes at home. And what it came down to is people just didn't have the mindset to do it.
Yeah.
Like, they could not get over the fact that I'm in my house. Like, this is weird. I don't like working out at home. I like working out at the gym. So that fix, like, no one had the mindset skills to overcome, here's a thing that's difficult. It's one more thing that's going to get in my way, and it's actually going to keep me from getting my workout in. So with that, I started noticing, man, we really need to work on mindset. Like, that is first and foremost. And I think I had talked about that a little bit earlier, just about how my mindset had to shift about things. That if we don't address that, then people are going to continue coming up with barriers that are lame yeah. excuses for why they can't do the thing that they need to do. In this specific instance, it was fitness, but it could be anything.
Right.
And so so then I started shifting, like, how do we talk about this more? Started doing, because it's just not fair that people are, like, getting in their own way with their mindset. So we started doing some 4-week mindset challenges. Just here's some different ideas and doing different things. And we did really, really well with some of our members through that. I had one tell me the other day that, man, like, the idea of shifting goals from a performance, like reaching a specific outcome, switching from an outcome-based goal to an effort-based goal. I mean, like, okay, rather than I'm going to row a 2-minute 500 meters on the rowing machine, I'm going to, like, make sure that my effort is, I'm going to come in 3 days a week for this month.
Yeah.
Like, cool. Coming in. And so just helping people, those little things, shifting that made them, like, helped a lot of people through that process. And I really, really enjoyed it. And so we started kind of exploring that more and trying to expand our offerings. But that only went so far. And it was like, not everyone wanted more. So, but it was something that I still believe is something that people need, is, like, that clarity.
Yeah. So you're not only working on the physical approach, but you're also working on the mental approach.
Yeah.
And it those two things really go hand in hand. And I think the mental approach, so many people, just like you said, they have barriers, they have excuses, they have, you know, everything in their way for the physical part. They also have that for the mental part.
Yeah.
You know, your mindset and what you're thinking and what you're doing and what you're putting yourself in those situations for that. So how did you overcome, if people aren't looking for that mindset, like, where else did you pivot?
Yeah, really good question. So, because, like I said, we're struggling to, like, make that happen. Not everyone was looking for that. And so I thought, well, we'll just open this up to a broader market. So did some, like, online, hey, we'll start a second business with this leadership coaching, this mindset coaching. And that was, like, the farther I went down that road, it didn't feel like it was what I really cared about. And I didn't feel like I could speak to it with as much experience. Like, yeah, I'd done a little bit of, or some of that of, for me. But it didn't feel like it, all of that resonated with everyone. And, then it was just one day I was just sitting thinking, like, man, really where I've had to show up for myself and put all of this mindset stuff into practice, and where this stoicism has really helped me the most has been in this leadership role in my business. And like, man, how many business owners are out there that have like started their business? And man, it is hard.
It's difficult.
It is so hard, whether it's the money side of things, whether it's just figuring out your operations, whether it's just dealing with the people, because there's always naysayers. There's right. people that love you 1 minute and all of a sudden the next day, like they're never going to come back to your business again and you don't know what happened. And like you can just let that like spiral out of control in your head. So like these people, like they're doing a thing that they love, and they're probably like, if they're doing a thing that they love, they're probably going to find success. Not all of them, but some of them. But then it grows. Like the business grows, and all of a sudden you have people that are your employees or yeah. contractors or whatever. And you're no longer just delivering the service or the product. Like you all of a sudden have to lead this group of people. And you have to cast a vision, and you have to get them inspired to do the thing. And they're never going to be you.
Yep.
But they can grasp a hold of that vision and follow you in a way that like it might as well be you. It could be really, really close. And if you want your business to grow, like you have to move out of those roles. You have to pass that on to something else, because you have to be the person that sets the vision and is out there making really hard choices on what growth needs to look like and where's the next thing you need to be doing. And so that's kind of where I'm pivoting, is like, man, this is the stuff that I do all day. I'm in it every day.
Yeah.
And I love that stuff, and I love helping other people find those problems. So kind of marrying this idea of mindset and leadership and for small business owners. And so that's really where I'm pivoting. One of the things that I talk about when I talk to these business owners is that like you've got to get good at doing hard things.
Yeah.
Like every day you do hard things. And sometimes like I've had to have some very difficult conversations with people recently as just part of the role as a business owner. I'm like, I do not want to do this. This is really, really hard. This is super uncomfortable for both of us. But one of the things that has gotten me better at doing that is, guess what? I work out 3 to 5 days a week. I show up and do something that's really hard.
Yeah.
I show up and make myself do something I don't necessarily want to do. Maybe I didn't sleep as well as I would have liked. Maybe I have emails to answer or like whatever. Like there's always excuses for not doing the thing. But by putting in the repetitions of forcing myself to do something that's uncomfortable and staying uncomfortable in that workout and not like quitting early or whatever, like that directly impacts my ability to sit and have a different difficult conversation with somebody, or to make a difficult choice about canceling a program or changing how we bill something, or like things that are probably going to make somebody upset. And I'm like, I could sit back and be afraid of like what that is, or I could be like, yep, this is what I need to do. And so, because this is what moves me forward, just like this workout will move me forward.
Right.
So I've found a way to actually kind of blend the two as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I think it speaks on being a business owner, being an entrepreneur. There are a lot of decisions and a lot of very hard decisions. And when you kind of spiral into the effect of, you know, not getting a workout in or not doing what your routine should be, those decisions become so much harder to make and not have clarity on, and not have like, hey, no, I know I'm making the right choice in this particular situation. And as a business owner and somebody that is growing your business, like you not only are making the decisions for you and your family, but you're making it for other people and their families and their careers. And, you know, like there's just a lot of decision making going on mm-hmm. with that, and those hard conversations that you have to have. And everybody's hard conversations are completely different, you know, with what they are able to tolerate, what they're not able to tolerate, how they talk with people, how, you know, de-escalate people from situations. Like there's just a lot of human reaction that happens in those decision making, and just saying like, no, I'm good with myself. I know that this is what needs to happen, you know, and that is difficult. So you have something with Volley. Tell us a little bit, like how you're helping people through Volley, what that really next step is looking for in your entrepreneurial of marrying these two kind of mind and physical aspects.
Yeah. Okay. So Volley is the more popular app. So Volley is an app. It's there's a desktop for your computer. There's a mobile version for your phone. It is a asynchronous video chatting app, I guess is how they would say it. But maybe more popular versions of, or something similar would be Marco Polo. I think more people are familiar with Marco Polo. More people than that are familiar with Slack. Slack is text-based. So it's kind of a combination of Marco Polo and Slack. But it allows you to create up a, they call it a space. So I've opened up a space that's kind of leadership coaching stuff, and it's freely available for anyone. And with that, you can post a message, a video message. You can put in a text message. You can just, if you're scared of the camera, you can do just an audio message. But then you basically have a dialogue, and it's an ongoing conversation about different things, or whatever the topic is for that space. And you can have different channels within that space. So, I created this just to like, hey, I want to help people as I'm starting to build my, my, leadership coaching business. Let's get that out there and start a dialogue is one way for me to like help people. And then also to like get a better pulse on what problems people are really having. So, but you post a message, I post a message, and then people can respond to that. And, but you don't have to respond right away. You can like take your time and respond a couple days later. And, it's just kind of a really great way to keep a conversation going that doesn't have the immediacy of like a text message or a phone call or even email is just the worst. but it's just kind of an ongoing conversation. So, I've opened that up. Things with the, my CrossFit business has been really busy and I haven't had the chance to kind of dive back into that in the last couple of weeks, but it's a thing that's on my radar and I'm going to get back in, back into that as soon as things kind of settle back down. It's the struggle of juggling two businesses is that sometimes there's emergencies or more important things that I have to take care of and I can come back to it.
But. Yeah. It's definitely priorities within, you know, being a business owner of like, is this something I need to do right now? Is it something I can wait? Is it, you know, is it bringing me what I need into my business? Yeah. No. Okay. Like let's put it on pause for a little bit. What is your vision and kind of goal with starting this leadership job, career, entrepreneurship, whatever you want to call it?
So what I'm wanting to do is put together I'm thinking 3 months right now, but a 3-month coaching experience course where small business owners would, you know, sign up. They would attend like some video calls. There'd be some online materials that they could go through. And then I would kind of take this framework that I've built around that has helped me and things that I feel are super important for someone that wants to be a resilient and unshakable leader, like being able to walk them through that over the course of 3 months, not just in a way of like, but here's the information, go and see if you can figure out how to do it. But with 3 months time, you can actually start to build habits. You can create your own routines and your own rituals, and you can start to see change. And so I want to help people do that. And that's where I'm going to start. I mean, and Volley will be a part of that in like, we can do, while there is group conversations in there, you can do one-on-one conversations in there as well. So just in the way of support and ongoing conversations with the people that are going to be in my course, we'll be able to have that for support and kind of handle their stuff one-on-one. So that's where I'm headed. I'm still working on kind of putting that all together, and I think it's going to be 3 months long, but we'll see if I can fit everything in. There's the balance of like, and again, as a business owner, like you're trying to figure out what's going to be the best thing. Like I want this actually to be helpful for people. And, but I also don't want to like ask the people spend a year with me because that's going to be a bit much. I don't even know if I could spend a year with me.
Well, it gets to be overwhelming where it's like, okay, I want to be able to learn something and then implement something. Yeah. And then you're able to reflect on their, you know, implement like whatever decision they made, kind of, you know, coach them on, okay, How did that work? What would you do differently next time? And be able to walk them through some of those situations where maybe a month, some of these situations don't happen or these hard things don't mm-hmm. come. But over a 3-month span, I think that's a great time frame where it's not too long. We're like, oh my gosh, this is daunting. I have to talk with Clayton again, like about my business, about like my mindset, you know, but it's enough time where like, oh, I can make a change. I can make a change in myself mm-hmm. and really progress to who I want to be in the world.
Yeah. And I think there's, it's enough time, 3 months or so is enough time to actually like fully understand what a framework, like the framework that I've put together and what the benefits of doing that are. And like these people would all be business owners as well. So they're going to be busy. So asking them to be like, hey, you got to come to a call every week is like, no, they don't have time for that.
Right.
So, so just allowing them to kind of find their own way with inside of that framework with some guidance, and because they don't have to do it exactly the same way I do it. That would be dumb. We're not all the same, right?
Exactly.
So.
So, with kind of wrapping things up, tell us a little bit more about like what somebody you could teach right now about resiliency. Like, what is something that you would be able to quickly, you know, they could grab from this podcast and be like, oh, this could help me today. This could help me in the next week to build resiliency in their lives.
Yeah. Okay. So this is, I'm going to give credit where credit is due. Like this all came from a book again by Ryan Holiday. Like he's just got very prolific in the Stoicism writing stuff, but his book called The Obstacle is a Way. And it's taken from a quote by Marcus Aurelius, but it's the idea that the impediment to your action is the action that you need to take. So, resiliency is our ability to come back from setbacks and to continue moving through difficult challenges. And that whether that's a physical resiliency or a mental resiliency, really. But if we don't put ourselves in situations where it's going to be difficult, we're not going to get better at doing those difficult things, and we're not going to get more resilient. So look for the things that you don't want to do. Take a second, look at the things that you have to do, the things that are going on in your life, the things that maybe you want to achieve. Look at the things that are you don't want to do that are getting in your, you know, that they have to be done for you to get there, and do that thing. Even if you have to take off things on your to-do list that are things you could easily do, don't do those easy things. Force yourself to do the thing that you don't want to do. Right. That obstacle is your way forward. And then the reality of this is you do it, and you realize it wasn't as bad as you thought.
Yeah.
And so you gain just an incremental bit more confidence. You have a little bit more courage, and you look for the next thing that you don't want to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, and then that's just how it works over time. You don't go from 0 to 100 overnight, but every day putting yourself out there to do that thing that you don't want to do over time builds resilience, because that's just how it works.
Yeah, so. No, absolutely. And I think you definitely hit it, you know, right on the head of like, you don't go from 0 to 100 overnight. It's these steps and adding these steps onto each other. So maybe the first time you try to make a hard decision or, you know, say, hey, I really don't want to wake up in the morning at 7 o'clock. I would rather wake up at 8 o'clock. It's like, do it, get over it. You know, and then you realize, like you said, it's not as bad as you thought it was going to be. And I have a quick story on that. We, as our family went down to Mexico, I have a niece that's 9. And for Christmas, I always buy them experiences, not like actual gifts. So awesome. We were at one of the outdoor adventures in Puerto Vallarta, and it was the longest water slide in Mexico. And mind you, they had us put on hockey helmets, like elbow pads. Like it was a pretty scary like water slide. And she's like, she's crying and she is really upset and she's scared. And she's like, I don't want to do this. And we're like, we talked her through, like gave her some breath work, you know, and just really kind of explained like, hey, this is really kind of the only way down. And she went down. And later that afternoon, I asked all of the nieces and nephews, I said, what was your favorite thing from today? And what was the scariest thing for her was also her favorite thing of that day. Yeah. And it really, really brought light to my own life. And I think what you're speaking on and what you're trying to tell people, like, hey, make that hard decision. Like, yeah, you're going to have anxiety over it. You're going to have, you know, like an uncomfortable situation. But I promise you, after you do it, you'll be like, oh my gosh, that was not as bad as I thought it was.
Yeah.
And watching her have that epiphany, and I'm sure you watching your clients have those epiphanies, you're like, oh my gosh, I've done my job. Like, I'm doing great, yeah. You know? Yeah. And that's the successful part for you, is seeing those clients and, yeah. and being like, even if it's, you know, working out, it's like, oh, they made it 3 times this week. Like, that's so good for them. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't matter if they completed the entire, you know, workout. Doesn't matter if they PR'd that day. It doesn't matter, you know, any of those things. They simply made it.
Yeah.
They simply made it here for 3 times mm-hmm. a week. And that is a huge accomplishment. It's
very huge. Yeah. And consistency over time gets yeah. results. So like, that's all I ask. Just do the thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Clayton, how can people follow you, check up with you? I mean, once you get this leadership, you know, course going, mm-hmm. how can they get a hold of you?
So a couple ways, ClaytonBora.com. I have a free ebook checklist thing about the 8 characteristics of an unshakable leader. So sign up and get that. Then you'll be on my mailing list and you can hear about the leadership course when it launches. And then you can follow me on Instagram. I am at CB Bora. And yeah, that's probably the best way to keep up with me. The gym has a website as well. So if you're local and you want go to a gym, CrossFit43North.com. That would be that thing there. But that's probably about it.
Yeah. Well, I just want to thank you so much for coming on and speaking about, you know, kind of what you're doing in life and how you are really grabbing hold of these leaders and helping people not only with their physical health, but also their mental health and their mindset. And I give you, you know, kudos for all of those things and just appreciate you coming on and telling us a little bit about your story. And I know you're not the alpha man, but it's, you know, you have things to share and you have experiences to share. And that's what this podcast is all about. So I thank you and thank you for all of our followers. Make sure you go and see Clayton on Instagram and his website, and make sure you like and follow and review Raw Thoughts, and have a good day.
Yeah,
thank you so much. Thank you for tuning into the show today. Your feedback is very important to me. If you could leave a review as well as follow me on Instagram at rawthoughts.podcast and email in at m.rawthoughts@gmail.com if you have any guest suggestions.